Crime.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Free falling through these times of chaos and confusion. Reach beyond the collusion. Be the future you crave. Pirates, you got to find the current. It travels within you. Lavishly lit, heaven sent.
Please note that some materials contained adult content or language. Listener's discretion is advised.
Stay in that current. It runs deep and strong. Abundantly bright.
Hello, I'm Chuck Norris, and this is my wife, Gina.
My name is Scooter, and I'm first cousins with both Chuck and Gina.
We're here to talk to you about the National Council on Bible Curriculum in Public School.
Chuck and I believe it's very important to have a Bible curriculum in every public school.
Our forefathers founded this country on biblical principles, and they never intended the Bible to be removed from our school.
Here in America, religion forms the foundation of our way of life, and the Bible is part of that religious foundation.
Yup. And you can open it to any page to adjust it and keep that coffee table from rocking.
In fact, the Bible is currently being taught as history and literature in various school districts.
And it's got them real thin pages in case you're out of rolling papers.
You may ask, is this legal?
Well, who cares, man? The cops are scared to come around here.
And the answer is yes. The Supreme Court has ruled that it is.
I should also mention that 92% of the school boards approached with this idea have voted it in.
Yep, that's one in Oklahoma. Two in Arkansas.
We hold the keys. We can change the world. Boys and girls can change the world? Absolutely. Hallelujah. Say, God, I'm here to be trained. I'll say what you want me to say. In Jesus' name.
Voice of Reason, welcoming you to an audio ride through the wonderful world of the Christian Coalition, the Religious Right. The Assemblies of God Church are paramount in this movement. What do we really have to fear from an organization of loving Christians who assure us that they do not preach hatred or violence? Nothing, as long as you obey and do not question them.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
God wants all of his soldiers to obey him.
If I do, will I like it?
Tell them, everybody.
You like the Bible. You like the Bible if you read it.
They said it's the music. It's the music. It gets down in you. It washes over you and beats upon your brain. And I really didn't know what I was doing, they said. I just pulled off my clothes and I had to do it. Inspired by the powers of darkness. And you boys and girls that have Beatle records at home, this is the most rotten, dirty, damnable, filthy, putrid filth that this nation or the world has ever known. And you parents that would allow this filth to be in your home, you ought to be taken out somewhere and horsewhipped. You hear me?
Hey, I don't like the sound of that.
Life as she saw it was quite simple. You wanted a good time. They, meaning the party, wanted to stop you having it. You broke the rules as best you could. She seemed to think it just as natural that they should want to rob you of your pleasures as that you should want to avoid being caught. She hated the party and said so in the crudest words, but she made no general criticism of it.
Where the hell have you been?
As Oscar Wilde said, selfishness is not living as one wishes to live. It is asking others to live as one wishes to live.
A dangerous God. We hear again and again that religion is a good thing. Religion is being pushed on us at every turn. Religion gets special privileges, tax-free base, which means that we taxpayers are indirectly subsidizing religious institutions. Every time they buy another piece of property which they can use for religious purposes, that shrinks the secular tax base and we have to pay for it. Religion is a good thing, and it can be a good thing, indeed. Religion can be a source of love and peace, bringing out the best in some people. There is in this country a Christian left. We always hear about the Christian right, but we rarely hear about the Christian left because it's not backed up by big money and TV media. But there is a Christian left that preaches social gospel, that advocates peace and social justice in the world. But religion can also bring out the worst in people, not just the best. One could fill volumes with accounts of the harm and evil that religious people have inflicted upon each other, always in God's name. Usually they target people of other religious persuasions or non-believers or even the most vulnerable members of their own faith. Many of these faithful don't brim with the finer impulses. They represent a meaner religious culture with its merciless practice of intolerance, violence, fundamentalist hatred, and exploitation. We can't divorce religion from the things done in its name. Just as we credit it for its acts of mercy and charity, so I think we've got to criticize it for the acts of exploitation and bloody murder perpetrated down through the ages. In April 1995, self-appointed soldiers of Christ bombed the federal building in Oklahoma City, killing 168 innocent people. Other Jesus worshipers have attacked abortion clinics, causing millions of dollars in damage, killing several clinic workers and doctors, and seriously wounding numerous others. Throughout the centuries, Christians slaughtered Jews, and Catholics and Protestants massacred each other. In recent times, Christians and Muslims have killed each other in Nigeria and the Philippines. Muslims and Hindus have murdered each other in Kashmir and India, and in numerous other places, believers have warred against believers. Throughout much of the world, missionaries went forth to do the work of the imperialists, going into countries, destroying the cultures, undermining the beliefs and practices of the indigenous peoples, imposing a cruel regimen on people, corralling them into compounds where many of them died from sickness and disease. This happened to American Indians. This happened to native dwellers in the South Sea Islands and in places in Africa. Religion was also used as a weapon, very directly as a weapon for subduing and demoralizing the people who were colonized by the imperialists. In many parts of the world, people are murdered and mutilated for failing to observe theocratic standards. In our own country and elsewhere, religious cult leaders claim to be spiritually pure while they materially and sometimes sexually exploit their credulous followers. Like many other deities, the Judeo-Christian God, as portrayed in the Bible, is a ferociously vindictive, neurotically jealous, intolerant, vainglorious, punitive, sexist, xenophobic, homophobic mass murderer. Beware of those who act in the name of such gods. Were we to encounter these traits in an ordinary man, we would judge him to be in need of lifelong incarceration at a maximum security facility. At the very least, we wouldn't take to worshiping him, nor would we prattle on about how he works his wonders in mysterious ways.
Don't want to be an American idiot. Don't want a nation under the new mania. Can you hear the sound of hysteria? The subliminal mindfuck America. Welcome to a new kind of tension all across the alien nation. Everything isn't meant to be okay. TV dreams of tomorrow, we're not the ones who are meant to follow. For that's enough to argue.
Oh, darling, you look adorable. I can't believe it's your first day of school. You're growing up so fast. Now be a good boy and do whatever the nice priests tell you to do.
So, William, I hope you enjoyed your first day of school. You know, Our Lady of Blind Conformity is one of the finest boys' educational facilities in the country. You are quite fortunate to be attending. Here you'll learn that a complete education incorporates both academics as well as religious studies. Prayer is a major part of our daily routine. Oh, there's nothing I enjoy more than seeing an entire room of boys on their knees in prayer. In fact, if you'll follow me into my office, I'll show you an exciting way to praise God.
God is cool. Who prefers to teach at an all-boys school? Who breaks the law but is not liable? Who's the man with the sticky Bible? Father Peter, the pedophile priest. Who reads to us from the book of Job? Who's the man with the lamp in his robe? Hugs his son, but not your daughter. Who dunks his dick in the holy water? Father Peter, the pedophile priest.
Pat Robertson will destroy anyone who stands in his way. Here he tells the viewers of the 700 Club that it is the godly thing to do to kill your enemies and gives biblical authority for so doing. Also supporting the concept of violence by the radical religious right is such as the Oklahoma City and the abortion clinic deaths, is the fundamentalist idea of pre-predatory prayer, that is, calling God's power down to execute his judgment on someone that has disobeyed his commands. This killing may have a little help from the mortal Christian Coalition people.
They were serving idols. They say they were offering their children up and they were forsaking God. Now, you say, God told the Israelites to kill them all, men, women, and children, to destroy them. And that seems to be a terrible thing to do. Is it or isn't it? Well, let us assume that there were 2,000 of them or 10,000 of them living in the land or whatever number. I don't have the exact number, but pick a number. And God said, kill them all. Well, that would seem hard, wouldn't it? But that would be 10,000 people who probably would go to hell. But if they stayed and reproduced, in 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 or 100 more years, there could conceivably be 10,000 would go to 100, 100,000 conceivably could go to a million, and then there would be a million people who would have to spend eternity in hell. And it's far more merciful to take away a few than to see in the future, 100 years down the road, and say, well, I'll have to take away a million people that will be forever apart from God because the abomination is there. It's like a contagion. God saw that there was no cure for it. It wasn't going to change. Their hearts weren't going to change. And all they would do would be to cause trouble for the Israelites and pull the Israelites away from God and prevent the truth of God from reaching the earth. And so God in love, and that was a loving thing, took away a small number, and he might not have to take away a large number. Now, that's a long answer, but I think that's closer to it, isn't it?
For one thing, he's probably only about 5'2". For another thing, his eyes weren't blue. And if he came today, we'd be the first one to try to kill him. Yeah, you gotta picture him about 5'2". And even he never said his eyes were blue. People always tell me what he said. Christ, what didn't he say? Gabby bastard, wasn't he? Jesus never said anything about abortion. They had abortions back then. Not that I care either way. He did say about 200 times. Can't be rich, he said. You don't need a lot of stuff. One coat is plenty, he said. In fact, he said, you don't give your stuff away, he said. You're gonna go to hell. I wish he'd come back. That'd shock the bastards. He'd probably say, hey, George. Hey, Dick. I always crack up when I think even his mother calls him Dick. Hey, Connie. Come on. I hope you got your fireproof boots on, 'cause y'all going straight to hell. But they don't have to worry, do they? They don't have to really care, 'cause they know ain't no such thing as him. Some old guy in a white beard checking his list up in the sky up north or anywhere. Why is it okay for them all to say God bless America, but it's really weird for me to get up here and say, if God cares so much about abortion, why don't he do something about it? He's a big boy. What if I said ain't no such thing as Jesus? Don't fill your head with them goofy dreams. It's just some wacky way to explain things you don't understand. Seems like such an evil person to get up here and say, I know such thing as Jesus. I'm up here tonight. I ain't such a bad man. With my sister, let me hang out with my nephews. If I said I don't think there's any such thing as Jesus, I don't know. I let her hang out with my kids. She says there is. There was someone called Jesus. First of all, he'd be about, right off the bat, he'd be about 5'2". Next thing is, his eyes wouldn't be blue. He'd be an Arabic guy. Be a towel head. We'd probably pick him up, wishing he was dead. Send him down to Guantanamo Bay. Call him an enemy combatant. Take away his rights. Then we'd wish he was dead again. And he would be dead if a current administration had anything to do with it. Or he'd be sexually humiliated, dunked in ice cold water, and made towel. George could get him the towel. Now that it ever took too much to get him the towel. George could get him. Dick could get him the towel. That ain't saying much. Trouble was to get him to stop talking. He was a gabby bastard, wouldn't he? Oh, oh dear Jesus.
I honestly am not going to tear apart religion, okay? I will not tell you you should not believe in God or Allah or J.K. Rowling or whoever your God may be. However, I will say that I view being religious as having a cock piercing, okay? Some people like it. They like the way it makes them feel. They feel it makes them more whole as a person and that it adds something to their life, makes them feel special and alive. Maybe they feel it brings them good luck. And they usually end up finding a great relationship with someone else who enjoys a nice game of genital dress-up now and again. And I'm fine with all of that. I'm not going to tell anyone to take their cock ring out. And the only time I did was one time when I happened to be painting a penis and I needed it to appear pristine, okay? My problem is when people start waving their cock ring in your face and yelling, "Why don't you have one? It's the proper way to live. It's the way we are supposed to exist. Let me tell you all about mine. Let me show you how it changed me and how it made me better. I think cock rings should be mentioned in our laws and in our governmental proceedings. I live my life by this book that was written by an ancient cock ring nearly 2,000 years ago. I think people without adorned dicks should be ridiculed and told they're bad people. Let's talk about mine for a little longer. Look at it! Look at it!" No, all right? No. Keep that shit to yourself. Put your religion back in your fucking pants where it belongs. Relate to me as a human being, and don't even bring up your dick or the necklace it happens to be wearing. How does that sound?
There are billions of galaxies in the observable universe, and each of them contains hundreds of billions of stars. In one of these galaxies, orbiting one of these stars, lies a little blue planet. And this planet is run by a bunch of monkeys. Now these monkeys don't think of themselves as monkeys. They don't even think of themselves as animals. In fact, they love to list all the things that they think separate them from the animals. Opposable thumbs. Self-awareness. They use words like Homo erectus and Australopithecus. You say tomato, I say tomato. They're animals, all right. They're monkeys. Monkeys with high-speed digital fiber optic technology, but monkeys nevertheless. I mean, they're clever. You've got to give them that. The pyramids, skyscrapers, phantom jets, the Great Wall of China. That's all pretty impressive. For a bunch of monkeys. Monkeys whose brains have evolved to such an unmanageable size that it's now pretty much impossible for them to stay happy for any length of time. In fact, they're the only animals that think they're supposed to be happy. All of the other animals can just be. But it's not that simple for the monkeys. You see, the monkeys are cursed with consciousness, and so the monkeys are afraid. So the monkeys worry. The monkeys worry about everything, but mostly about what all the other monkeys think. Because the monkeys desperately want to fit in with the other monkeys. Which is pretty hard to do, because a lot of the monkeys hate each other. This is really what separates them from the other animals. These monkeys hate. They hate monkeys that are different, monkeys from different places, monkeys who are a different color. You see, the monkeys feel alone. All 6 billion of them. Some of the monkeys pay another monkey to listen to their problems. The monkeys want answers, and the monkeys know they're going to die, so the monkeys make up gods, and then they worship them. Then the monkeys start to argue over whose made-up god is better. Then the monkeys get really pissed off, and this is usually when the monkeys decide that it's a good time to start killing each other. So the monkeys wage war. The monkeys make hydrogen bombs. The monkeys have got their entire planet wired up to explode. The monkeys just can't help it. Some of the monkeys play to a sold-out crowd of other monkeys. The monkeys make trophies and then they give them to each other. Like it means something. Some of the monkeys think they've got it all figured out. Some of the monkeys read Nietzsche. The monkeys argue about Nietzsche without ever giving any consideration to the fact that Nietzsche was just another monkey. The monkeys make plans. The monkeys fall in love. The monkeys have sex, and then they make more monkeys. The monkeys make music, and then the monkeys dance. Dance, monkeys, dance! The monkeys make a hell of a lot of noise. The monkeys have so much potential if they would only apply themselves. The monkeys shave the hair off of their bodies in blatant denial of their true monkey nature. The monkeys build giant monkey hives that they call cities. The monkeys draw a lot of imaginary lines in the dirt. The monkeys are running out of oil, which is what fuels their precarious civilization. The monkeys are polluting and raping their planet like there's no tomorrow. The monkeys like to pretend that everything is just fine. Some of the monkeys actually believe that the entire universe was created for their benefit. As you can see, these are some messed up monkeys. These monkeys are at once the ugliest and the most beautiful creatures on the planet. And the monkeys don't want to be monkeys. They want to be something else. But they're not.
Pass it on,
pass it on, pass it on,
pass it on, pass it on, pass it on, pass it on, pass it on.
I hear the crying of the hungry in the deserts where they're wandering. Hear them crying out for heaven's own benevolence upon them. Hear destructive power prevailing. I hear fools falsely hailing to the crooked wits of tyrants when they call.
I hear them all, I hear them all, I hear them all.
I hear the sounds of tearing pages and the roar of burning paper. All the crimes and acquisition turn to air and ash and vapor. And the rattle of the shackle far beyond emancipator. And the lowliest to gather in their stalls.
I hear them all, I hear them all, I hear them all.
They can do almost anything to us, but they aren't allowed to kill us, not legally. Especially not when we are pregnant.
Recently, the abortion birth control debate has bubbled to the top again, and let's call it what it actually is. It's not an attack on women. It's a defense of the absolute holy power of men. Grandiose, douche-faced, Quasimodo-looking motherfuckers are worried that they don't have control over women anymore. They're worried about the idea of a woman with her lesser intellectual faculties making choices about her own body. And if a woman's not subservient to her man, then that means we aren't living in the 1950s anymore, which is secretly where these guys want to be, because women did what they were told, and black people didn't talk to you, and you weren't supposed to respect Arabs as if they were human beings, and you could even steal a simple primary election without people getting their panties all in a bunch and acting like all the votes should be counted. Mitt, I'm looking in your direction, and a lot of those people who want those votes counted, fucking women. Recently, some of the GOP have been talking about how 90% of Planned Parenthood's funding goes to abortion. And the truth is, that's a lot of fucking abortion. That's like aborting, like, everybody. It's too bad those congressmen were only off by 87 points with that number. It's 3%. 3% of their funding goes to abortion. That's a lot wrong. I mean, to be that wrong, you have to be unfamiliar with numbers of any sort. That's like confusing the number 36 with a spoon. That's like confusing your multiplication tables with real tables. You remember in third grade math class when that one kid answered every question by picking his nose and then sticking it in his ear? That's the level these people are at. And besides, imagine if women had legal control over any aspect of the male anatomy. Imagine if a Congress of 80% women voted that all men had to be circumcised or have a vasectomy or could only come twice a year. How long would that last before there was a massive civil war with thousands of deaths ending in the president signing the ejaculation proclamation? But male power is just the real reason these men are upset. Let's spend some time addressing the stupid bullshit reason they're upset. They want to claim it's about religion, about the sanctity of life. And 95% of the time, these are the same people who are ready to drop a bomb at the drop of a hat. They'll blow up endless numbers of children and babies in Afghanistan, Vietnam, Korea, and Iraq. They'll abort millions the world over in the name of oil, with defense as the pretense. Millions that are not minuscule eggs or bundles of cells. These people have names and clothing and likes and dislikes. And one of their biggest dislikes? Being bombed. Furthermore, if you're so pro-life, if life is a gift from the Almighty, if it's incredible and awe-inspiring, then how about standing up against factory farms? Millions of living, breathing creatures with the IQ of a 3-year-old human are slammed together in cages no bigger than their bodies. Do you love all of God's creatures? What about the ones you torture and pump full of more chemicals than Sylvester Stallone's face? When all the wars have ended and the Republicans don't flip out at the idea of decreasing our nuclear arsenal and all the factory farms are stopped, then and only then will I take your love of life seriously. Until then, this is just a bunch of unevolved men making sure they maintain some power over the broads.
What's dangerous in the hands of the multitudes, he said, with what may or may not have been irony, is safe enough for those whose motives are beyond reproach. Glenn speaks. "Do you think God listens?" she says. In the past, this would have been a trivial enough remark. Right now, it's treason. I could scream. I could turn away from her to show I won't tolerate this kind of talk. Subversion, sedition, blasphemy, heresy. "No," I say. She lets out her breath in a long sigh. We have crossed the invisible line together. "Neither do I," she says. We walk, heads bent as usual. I'm so excited I can hardly breathe. "I thought you were a true believer," Ofglen says. "I thought you were." "You can join us," she says. "Us? There is an us, then." "You didn't think I was the only one," she says. It occurs to me that she may be a spy, a plant, but I can't believe it. Hope is rising in me like sap in a tree.
I always say that when it comes to abortion, there's really only one moral question. Are women going to be forced to have children against their will? Are women going to be forced by patriarchal structures of the state, of the church, of society more broadly? Or are women going to be free to make their own life choices and pursue full participation in society together equally with men. And if you're going to have the latter, women have to have control over their reproduction, over birth control, over sex ed, over the right and the unstigmatized and unrestricted right to abortion. That's a moral position. Women who choose abortions, they do that because an unintended pregnancy forecloses their life plans, their options, and in this society, it is women who bear the brunt of child rearing. And it goes without saying, children are wonderful, children are beautiful, they should be parented with love, they should be cared for by society, but the idea that it's a woman's duty to bring to term every pregnancy, whether she wants it or not, and then to subordinate her life to raising that child that's an immoral position. It's a patriarchal position, and it's one that's outmoded. So, you know, that's sort of a big answer, but it's a basic framework, and that's been lost, I think, to a lot of young women in particular.
Why is it that most of the people who are against abortion are people you wouldn't want to fuck in the first place, huh? Boy, these conservatives are really something, aren't they? They're all in favor of the unborn. They will do anything for the unborn. But once you're born, you're on your own. Pro-life conservatives are obsessed with the fetus from conception to 9 months. After that, they don't want to know about you. They don't want to hear from you. No, nothing. No neonatal care, no daycare, no Head Start, no school lunch, no food stamps, no welfare, no nothing. If you're pre-born, you're fine. If you're preschool, you're fucked. Conservatives don't give a shit about you until you reach military age. Then they think you are just fine, just what they've been looking for. Conservatives want live babies so they can raise them to be dead soldiers. Pro-life. Pro-life. These people aren't pro-life, they're killing doctors. What kind of pro-life is that? What, they'll do anything they can to save a fetus, but if it grows up to be a doctor, they just might have to kill it? They're not pro-life. You know what they are? They're anti-woman. Simple as it gets. Anti-woman. They don't like them. They don't like women. They believe a woman's primary role is to function as a broodmare for the state. Pro-life. You don't see many of these white anti-abortion women volunteering to have any black fetuses transplanted into their uteruses, do you? No, you don't see them adopting a whole lot of crack babies, do you? No, that might be something Christ would do. And you won't see a lot of these pro-life people dousing themselves in kerosene and lighting themselves on fire. You know, morally committed religious people in South Vietnam knew how to stage a goddamn demonstration, didn't they? Huh? Hey. They knew how to put on a fucking protest. Light yourself on fire! Come on, you moral crusaders, let's see a little smoke to match that fire in your belly. Here's another question I have. How come when it's us, it's an abortion, and when it's a chicken, it's an omelet? Wait. Are we so much better than chickens all of a sudden? When did this happen, that we passed chickens in goodness? Name six ways we're better than chickens. See, nobody can do it. You know why? Because chickens are decent people. You don't see chickens hanging around in drug gangs, do you? You don't see a chicken strapping some guy to a chair and hooking up his nuts to a car battery, do you? When's the last chicken you heard about came home from work and beat the shit out of his hen, huh? Doesn't happen. Because chickens are decent people. Well, let's get back to this abortion shit. Now, is a fetus a human being? This seems to be the central question. Well, if a fetus is a human being, how come the census doesn't count them? If a fetus is a human being, how come when there's a miscarriage, they don't have a funeral? If a fetus is a human being, how come people say we have two children and one on the way instead of saying we have three children? People say life begins at conception. I say life began about a billion years ago, and it's a continuous process. Continuous, just keeps rolling along. Rolling, rolling, rolling along. I say, you know something? Listen, you can go back further than that. What about the carbon atoms? Huh? Human life could not exist without carbon. So is it just possible that maybe we shouldn't be burning all this coal? Just looking for a little consistency here in these anti-abortion arguments. See, the really hardcore people will tell you life begins at fertilization. Fertilization when the sperm fertilizes the egg, which is usually a few moments after the man says, "Gee, honey, I was going to pull out, but the phone rang and it startled me." But even after the egg is fertilized, it's still 6 or 7 days before it reaches the uterus and pregnancy begins. And not every egg makes it that far. 80% of a woman's fertilized eggs are rinsed and flushed out of her body once a month during those delightful few days she has. They wind up on sanitary napkins, and yet they are fertilized eggs. So basically what these anti-abortion people are telling us is that any woman who's had more than one period is a serial killer. Consistency. Consistency. Hey, if they really want to get serious, what about all the sperm that are wasted when the state executes a condemned man and one of these pro-life guys who's watching comes in his pants, huh? Here's a guy standing over there with his jockey shorts full of little Vinnies and Debbies, and nobody's saying a word to that guy. Not every ejaculation deserves a name. Now, speaking of consistency, Catholics, which I was until I reached the age of reason, Catholics and other Christians are against abortions and they're against homosexuals. Well, who has less abortions than homosexuals? Leave these fucking people alone, for Christ's sakes. There is an entire class of people guaranteed never to have an abortion. And the Catholics and Christians are just tossing them aside. You'd think they'd make natural allies. Go look for consistency in religion. And speaking of my friends, the Catholics, when John Cardinal O'Connor of New York and some of these other cardinals and bishops have experienced their first pregnancies and their first labor pains and they've raised a couple of children on minimum wage, then I'll be glad to hear what they have to say about abortion. I'm sure it'll be interesting. Enlightening, too. But, in the meantime, what they ought to be doing is telling these priests who took a vow of chastity to keep their hands off the altar boys. When Jesus said, "Suffer the little children, come unto me," that's not what he was talking about. So you know what I tell these anti-abortion people? I say, hey, if you think a fetus is more important than a woman, try getting a fetus to wash the shit stains out of your underwear. For no pay and no pension. I tell them, think of an abortion as term limits. That's all it is. Biological term limits. But you know, the longer you listen to this abortion debate, the more you hear this phrase, sanctity of life. You've heard that, sanctity of life. You believe in it? Personally, I think it's a bunch of shit. Well, I mean, life is sacred? Who said so? God? Hey, if you read history, you realize that God is one of the leading causes of death. Has been for thousands of years. Hindus, Muslims, Jews, Christians, all taking turns killing each other because God told them it was a good idea. The sword of God, the blood of the
Lamb. All you have to do, I tell myself, is keep your mouth shut and look stupid.
The U.S. arguments against abortion really do not have a whole lot to do with either a woman's moral authority to make that decision, despite the fact that it's a complex decision, it's a significant decision, it's a decision that varies from woman to woman. There's a very moral approach to the abortion question, but there isn't a practical approach where we see that abortion has existed throughout history. It exists in countries worldwide, and restricting it doesn't make it any less common. It just makes it more unsafe, and it just makes women pay the price for it with either their lives or their health or their ability to bear children for the remainder of their lives.
Betty Lou, she got pregnant and was addicted to 15 drugs. She went down to the abortion clinic and was accosted by right-wing thugs. Oh, will the fetus be aborted by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better home awaiting. It's in the sky, Lord, in the sky. Little Mary was just 11, and she was raped by her own dad. Danny Quayle said, have that baby, but another choice she had. Oh, will the fetus be aborted by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better home awaiting. It's in the sky, Lord, in the sky. Annie's pregnancy would kill her. The doctor's warnings gave her strife. Fundamentalists said, Jesus, take her. She said, I want my right to life. Oh, will the fetus be aborted by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. Bridget had two kids already, and an abortion is what she chose. Christian showed her a bloody fetus. She said, that's fine, I'll have one of those. Oh, will the fetus be aborted by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky.
Take one, George.
When we talk about abortion rights, reproductive rights, it is a human right. And when people try to say, and I have politicians say, it should be rare but legal, and it's anything but rare. You know, we know that somewhere between 30 and 40% of women in this country will have an abortion by the time they're age 45. 50 million women have had legal abortions since Roe v. Wade. 50 million women. And if you take that right away, if you take that opportunity away from women, it's going to have, as Sansara has been talking about, and as we all know, a huge impact on not only their reproductive lives, but their financial lives, their educational lives, and everything else. And that, of course, does trickle down to affect every single person in their family, which is all of us.
If it weren't for the way you were looking at me. This street is not a market, and I am not a commodity. And don't you find it sad that we can't even say hello? 'Cause you're a man, and I'm a woman, and the sun is getting. Woman, I can't go there, and a
is a person I don't care. I don't go for the hey baby, what's your name? And I'd like to go alone, thank you, just the same. I am up again against the skin of my guitar in the window of my life, looking out through the bars. I am sounding out the silence, avoiding all the words. I'm afraid I've said too much, I'm afraid of who has hurt me. And my father, he told me the story, and it was true for his time. But now the story is different. Maybe I should tell her mine. All the girls line up here, all the boys on the other side. I see your ranks are advancing, I see mine are left behind. I am up again against the skin of my guitar in the window of my life, looking out through the bars. I am sounding out the silence, avoiding all the words. I'm afraid I can never say enough, I'm afraid. No one has heard me. And despite all the balls that I've been thrown and forced to drop, on the social totem pole, I'm preciously close to the top. They put you in your place and they tell you to behave, but no one can be free till we're all on even grain. And I would have returned your greeting if it weren't for the way you were looking at me.
Motives and thoughts. Rotating bodies, confusion of sound, negative imagery holding us down, social delusion, clearly constructed, human condition, morals corrupted, trapped in reaction, lawlessness, war, dissatisfaction from bowels to core, devil's technology, strategy four, human mythologies, urban folklore, sick of psychology, counterfeit cure, wicked theology, robbing the poor, scheme demonology, mislead the pure, stricken strategically, studying war. Light shone in darkness, image exposed. Few can see through the new emperor's clothes. Lustful, this hustle turns humans to hoes. When the blind lead the blind, just more trouble and woes. It's the mind that they chose, it's designed to stay closed. Standards of jokers, court jester logic, cyclic and cosmic from schoolyard to college. Primitive man in a civilized knowledge. System collapse and he still won't acknowledge. God is the savior, studies behavior, trying to fix the mixed mind that he gave you. Stiff-necked scholars on prescription meds, wishing their problems was all in their heads. Moral dilemma, pride at the root, misguided from youth, heart divided from truth. Egyptians and Grecians, spiritually dead, empirically led by the good gods in their heads. Motives and thoughts, industrial wealth, global economy in it for self. Heart full of madness, covered with kind, pleasure designed to take over your mind. Furnished in godliness, painted in good, this tainted priesthood's got real saints misunderstood. While classes and government set up the veil and cultivate minds for more mythical tales. Typical Hollywood, follies, good girl, while vice and corruption take over the world. Motives and thoughts. Check your motives and thoughts. Blind with the wickedness deep in your heart. Modern day wickedness is all you've been taught. Lie to your neighbors so you get ahead. Modern day trickery is all you've been fed. Motives and thoughts. Check your motives and thoughts.
The pre-patriarchal or mattress cultures were very indulgent toward women, toward children, giving them much more physical affection and little punishment. They tended also to be permissive in various forms of pleasure and sexuality. There were no taboos against homosexuality, no concubinage, no prostitution. Women would control their own fertility and their choice of mates. The sexes would have equal social status, although the family was usually matrilocal and matrilineal. That is, married people would live in the wife's home and the property belonged to her. And the descent was reckoned primarily through mothers. which means blood relationships, meant literally a woman made her children out of her own blood, which is the blood retained in the womb while the child is being formed. And this, of course, was before they recognized biological fatherhood and thought that women only had this power to create life. There was a democratic division of labor, no caste system, no full-time military. And the religion of these cultures was some variant of nature worship without strict codes. A mother goddess was primary and her consorts were secondary. Sexuality and love between the sexes might have been considered part of religious feeling. Such cultures were generally nonviolent and valued spontaneity, humor, and sensual enjoyments.
I was born into a body, not yet my own, but as soon as I had grown, well, I jumped on the train, became a woman with steam, yeah. It's hard to keep clean when you're just chugging along, but you know I keep it fresh, baby, my jeans are dirty. Oh, and my jeans are dirty. Oh, well, do me wrong, do me bad, scrape your filthy all up and down my back and bite me, pull me, use me. Make me sweat, sweat, oh, it's a two-way track. Yeah, yeah. It's a nasty job, but somebody's got to do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. Keep dirty, dirty, dirty. Got to keep it dirty, dirty, dirty. Got to keep dirty, dirty, dirty. Got to keep it dirty, 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 dirty. You got to keep it. Dirty, 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 you got to keep dirty, 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 dirty.
Then we have, by contrast, the characteristics of the fully developed Patras society, which are given as follows. Children are severely treated with harsh physical punishment, restriction of movement, and painful initiations, including genital mutilation. Sexual attitudes were highly restrictive, ascetic, and fearful. Women's freedoms are limited and their status inferior. Marriages were usually arranged by others, and they were patrilocal and patrilineal. They frequently implied sexual and reproductive slavery for wives and or concubines. Heavy taboos surround menstruation, childbirth, abortion, birth control, widowhood, and women's access to the spiritual. There are full-time male clergies and military organizations, and a monotheistic father god, who is often depicted as rigidly authoritarian, demanding and cruel. Pain-seeking asceticism, like, you know, people flogging themselves, and renunciation of sexuality tended to please this god. The men own property, they own women, and they own children, and they may regard war as their most honorable calling. Slavery and torture were permitted and freely discussed, and physical pleasures and sensuality, contrarywise, are viewed with puritanical anxiety and many verbal taboos.
Thought crime, crime, crime.